T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today on this wonderful Monday around the country? Tiki and Tierney ready to roll, coming here from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. And boy, we'll stuff it all into the pot. We'll mix it up. We'll try to get it all in. It is obviously a huge football Monday, both college and pro. We've got the doubleheader tonight, so we'll see the Chiefs and the Bills. Obviously, Cards in Dallas, a little back-to-back. Andy Dalton, he's in there. World Series is all set. Congrats to the Dodgers. We'll react to some big injuries that went down across the NFL yesterday. Teak, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
All is well. Kiki Hernandez, man. That was awesome last night. I sat and watched basically the whole game. I think I watched almost every inning of that game last night. And I was worried about Dustin May. I mean, it would have been good whoever went, whether the Braves or the Dodgers. But for some reason, I had an affinity for the Dodgers this year. Maybe it's because I want to see Clayton Kershaw get another chance to redeem himself, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then Dustin May gets out there. He can't throw a strike for 9 pitches. Can't just 4-9 straight balls.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this is going to be a long day for the Dodgers. But he stabilized, and they ended up having a huge win. It was exciting. It was an exciting game to watch, and I rarely say that about baseball.
Hey, Skip, can you give me a little less time to get ready for Game 7? You get the text a couple hours before the game?
That was bizarre. I mean, is that common? It can't be
No, it can't be. No, that's
for
not,
those who don't know the story, Dustin May didn't know he was going to start the game. He knew he might get in at some point.
Uh-huh.
Skip told him at 1 o'clock that he was starting the game. Game 7, by the way, of the NLCS at 1 o'clock. And he said, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But he wasn't until he was.
Uh-huh. He made himself ready midstream. So a little different, by the way. The World Series will have some days off here. Game 1 is tomorrow, and then Game 2 is Tuesday. Unlike the League Championship Series, where there were no off days, it was just boom, 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 boom. They built in every couple of days off days, so you'll have an off day on Thursday. Game 1, Tuesday. Game 2, Wednesday. Then off. Then 3-4. Then off. We'll see if you need that much time. And I'm with you on Kershaw, a shot at redemption. But Teak, also Dave Roberts. A shot at redemption.
That's right. I mean, he's been there a couple times, and it's like, about time, you know, Skip, right?
Yeah.
Go get one.
Yeah, time to start winning. We'll obviously get a lot into the Bama-Georgia game. Tiki was down there for that. That's going to be a full segment, of course, on the show. Big upset. Carolina goes down. The ACC, even in victory, looked a little shaky in certain spots, which we'll get to. But, listen, I don't want to overreact to the performance by the Packers. I think Green Bay will be fine. You're starting to see, you know, the Bucs defense, and we've always known that it's good. We're starting to see Tampa's defense gain more chemistry. Brady, couple touchdowns, Gronk on the board, weak spike. By the way, what was up with that spike by Gronk?
He did it with the other hand, I know. But I think he has an injury. You know, the thing with Gronk.
He can't even spike the ball in the play.
Well, look, we heard this story at the beginning about, Bruce Arians calling him out because he wasn't in Florida shape. I'm sure he's in decent shape, but you know, working out in Florida when it's 90 degrees and 100% humidity is a little bit different. Probably not 100%, but you know what I mean. It's different than working out in New England or wherever he was living, probably California, where he's hanging out. So we heard that he wasn't in great shape, and Pete Prisco made a great point last week that when you take a year off, your body just doesn't like know how to do it anymore. I mean, you just have to recover. So I think he's, one, took some time to get in shape, and two, I think he's just beat up. And we knew he was beat up before he retired 2 years ago. And even though he comes back, there's still some lingering things around him. He's got that big brace on
his
arm.
He's always had that.
I know, but he even said it after the game. He was like, I couldn't spike it with that hand, so I had to use my other one.
Mm-hmm. You're better off giving it to one of your boys and letting them spike
Agreed.
It the right way.
Agreed.
But still, good to see Gronk get back in the end zone. We obviously have a lot of things to get into with this game. But first up, let's hear from Tommy Boy, Tom Brady, on the dub.
We just got to keep building and growing. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We just got to show up every day, try to get better, learn from the mistakes, and see if we can go win on the road here.
You know, Teague, I started to say before, I'm not going to overreact from Green Bay's point of view, because everywhere you look, the teams that, even if it wasn't this past weekend, every team that is, well, almost every team, not necessarily the Steelers or Seattle, but most of the teams that are, you know, top line material have had a game or a moment where even the Chiefs, where we're like, all right, maybe we need to reassess, or maybe we need to be careful not to overreact to one bad loss or one strange performance. So I'm not going to get into that with Green Bay. The only thing, I walk away from the game yesterday, and I'm like, you know, as much time, and rightfully so, as we devoted on the air Friday, how many times you get this kind of a matchup, Brady versus Rodgers? I mean, Brady's almost done. You know, Rodgers a couple of years away from 40. This is all-time stuff. So I'm not sounding the alarm for the Packers, but it really was the complete antithesis of what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Because Brady, I know he threw two touchdowns, but menial yardage, etc. Rodgers was not good at all, so kind of cheated of this performance by these two all-time Titans, at least from the aesthetics point of view. Like, you know, I wanted 35-30. I wanted both guys to really flourish and just kind of turn back time a little bit. And Rodgers was horrendous, and Brady was kind of a game manager.
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, at the end of the day, once David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, got hurt, it was, I mean, forget it. There was no chance for Aaron Rodgers. I forget the kid's name who they put in, but he was a revolving door. And give Todd Bowles, former New York Jets head coach, now defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a ton of credit for bringing the same complex type of blitzes to that left side where their best offensive lineman had vacated. And as a result, Aaron Rodgers just kept getting hit and had no time. And even when he, you know, had his eyes set where he wanted to let the ball go, he's still getting drilled in his chest. So you got to give credit where credit is due, and that's to the Tampa Bay defense. I mean, this whole offseason, all we talked about was how impressive their offense was going to be because of all the names, and you could run through the list, but most importantly, having Tom Brady as their quarterback. Quietly, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is the number one defense in football, and they get after the quarterback. They turn the ball over. They make it difficult for you. And ultimately, when they had the pick six, that basically stole momentum. I mean, not basically, it did. It stole momentum from the Green Bay Packers, who had driven down the field twice, put 10 points on the board, you know, just real quickly. But when Jamel Dean had that pick six, it completely flipped. Like, there wasn't a ton of fans in the stadium, but the entire energy of that stadium changed, and it was three and out, and a turnover in the very next series for Green Bay. And then after that one, it almost felt like there was no energy left in the Packers, and they faded quickly, and it became a blowout. But the credit, you know, we've thought it's going to go to Tampa's offense. You got to give credit where it belongs. Tampa's defense is playing awesome football right now.
Oh, no, that's the headline. It's not Tampa's offense. The headline is 100% Tampa's defense. They were phenomenal. And you talk about how the energy and the demeanor changed inside of the stadium, even though there, well, you know, wasn't a full house. But the energy and the demeanor, and this is a little bothersome to me, objectively speaking, the energy and the demeanor from Aaron Rodgers began to change a little bit. Kind of, you know, you're starting to get the eye rolls and not on the same page with Parker. And, and
it's like he was resigned, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I want to ask you a question, something that I noticed, but I want to see if you would agree. But let's first hear, we heard from Brady with the dub. Let's hear with Rodgers on the loss. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
You don't ever want to lose like this. I felt like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season. Because things have been so good and there's been so much talk maybe outside the building about the ease with which we're, you know, moving the ball on offense and scoring. And, you know, I think we need a kind of a kick in the ass a little bit as a little bit of a wake up to, stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position. And I think this would be, unfortunately, but fortunately, something we can really, really grow from.
See, I think that that's a pretty interesting take, but it's a little easy to start getting that dropped on you, a little bit early, pardon me, to get that dropped on you in week six.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, if you're rolling along and you're 10-1 and maybe you get a little lazy and, you know, you maybe not as buttoned up as you were the first month of the season, couple of penalties, couple of, you know, mental checkouts or whatever, a lack of attention to detail, that assessment of the team would be more fitting to me a lot deeper in the season. I'm not saying that a team can't get a little full of themselves, you know, in middle of October, but for a team that really hasn't done anything together, I'm a little surprised that that would be the direction the Packers went in, if Rodgers is right.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, but it almost, and again, and I said he looked resigned at a point, and it was almost like frustration had started to take over because it had happened so easy for them, at least in theory, even though, you know, it's not never, no game is ever easy. In fact, their game against the Saints, you know, was a tight affair the whole time. But you it felt like Aaron Rodgers was playing easy. You know, we were lauding him and his, you know, MVP candidacy that was, he was developing and his ability to make plays regardless of what's happening around him. But it felt like once they got down 28-10, it was, I just felt like he didn't, I don't say he didn't care, but it was almost like he knew that it wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? Like he you could see it in his eyes. He'd get sacked and then he gets into a fight with Ndamukong Suh. And, you know, that's something that goes back years. At least that's what Aaron Rodgers said. And
well, remember Sue stepped on his arm.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like it's like he couldn't get back to football. Mm-hmm. It's like he was so worried about like the energy and couldn't combat it. And there was nobody that could help him do it. And I don't know. The look on his face was not one that I've seen this year.
Love it.
No, I didn't either.
We didn't see it and I didn't love it. I don't like seeing that. Hey, listen, Aaron, you know, welcome to the world of Deshaun Watson. Welcome to the world of Sam Darnold. Welcome to the world of Baker Mayfield. Welcome to the world of Daniel Jones, where you are regularly accustomed to that right foot hitting the back turf. Boom. You got a guy in your mug 2 seconds after you hike the ball. I mean, this is what it's like when you play, you know, first of all, I mean, not every defense is Tampa, understood. So they made the Packers offensive line look far more porous than it is against an average or a subpar defense. The injury, obviously, was a shot. Bakhtiari's a stud, as you point out. But you know, a lot of quarterbacks kind of deal with this, and they don't at least admit physically that resignation. That to me and to you, if that's not the perfect word, then take a variable, like something that you know the connotation there. Like we're not saying that he quit, but there was a little like either, I don't know, that forlorn look of acceptance or, you know, acceptance, you know, I can't even spit it out because I don't know if there's the perfect word because I want to be fair to an all-time great. But what I saw, and this is what I wanted to ask you before, I saw a guy who was a little less willing than I would like to stand in the pocket and survey the, you know, middle to deeper portion of the field. He was ducking it down a lot, man.
Yeah.
A little conservative for my taste.
But if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're surveying your offensive line and David Bakhtiari is out and instead Ricky Wagner was the kid's name who took that Bakhtiari spot. Ricky Wagner is your left tackle now, and he's getting run every time they put two guys over there, two defenders. He's confused which one to block, and one of them's coming scot free. You kind of, what are you going to do? He's almost 40 years old. He's 30. What is he? 38. So I mean, you don't want to get hit ever if you're a quarterback. If you're getting hit and it's unfettered to you, it wears on you. It's one of the things that you talk about with young quarterbacks. Now, you don't want to ruin them because they get hit so much they never look downfield anymore. It happens to old quarterbacks too, though, when they get hit so many times. Even when he does get the ball out of his hands, when he get hit so many times, you can't help but, you know, look in the intermediate to short range as opposed to trying to push the ball downfield. And let's be real. He's just not the athlete that he was 2 years ago where he could, you know, run away from all that stuff. You know, he could scramble for, you know, 5 seconds and, you know, throw across his body and throw a dime, you know, 30 yards downfield. That's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. And so I that's why I felt like he was resigned, because there was nothing he could do. Like, usually he can be a hero. He can't be the hero anymore because he's getting a little bit older.
Well, I mean, listen, the NFL has always been about recalibration, and it's been about recalibration two aspects, you know, from my seat. and you know, from the seat of 99.999% of the people who listen to the show who didn't play in the NFL, you know, the NFL's recalibration's got to come within fan bases, whether it's a month-to-month or a week-to-week basis. When injuries happen, you've got to be, you know, savvy and flexible as a fan and understand, all right, this just kind of changed the way I see my team. This may have just changed the arc of my team. So there's that aspect. But then there's also the, and this is more important, obviously, the internal recalibration. And this applies to the Packers. This applies to the Browns, teams that were rolling, teams that put forth either quite putrid or just grossly disappointing, underwhelming performances on a big stage. I think the Bills would fall into that category. Yep. Last week. And I think we also have to recalibrate the MVP race right now, because last week, Josh Allen took a big step back. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers took a big step back. I know Derrick Henry was a beast, but Ryan Tannehill took a little step forward to the back end. Mm-hmm. It's still Russell Wilson's award, I would think, for now. But we'll see what Mahomes does tonight. Lamar Jackson's still running well, but he's not throwing it as well. It's I think that's the moral of the day. That's the tone of the day. It was a day for me, Teak, of recalibrations.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Well, it's teams. It just proved that no matter what we thought happened in the first quarter of the season, it still can change a lot. And again, here's the other thing we got to think about. And we don't see this really, because unless it's a star, every team is having to put like a guy or two on this COVID reserve list, and you lose maybe just a role player, a valuable role player. You don't know how it's affecting you. You know what I mean? And so there's this navigation, even though they had no positive test yesterday in the NFL, this navigation of rostering is not going to be easy. It's not going to be seamless, because we'll get to this later in the show, BT, but the New England Patriots, they looked bad. Remember how they looked really good the first 3 weeks of the season.
But they the offense didn't look that good against Kansas City. Oh, that's right. But that was after the interruption.
Yeah, I'm talking about the first 3 weeks. Yes, they lost to Seattle, but Seattle's good, man. They looked really good the first 3 weeks of the season. Cam Newton looked like he understood what was going on. I mean, they looked good. They get this disruption. They come back. They looked horrendous. Now they're under 500 for the first time in a decade. But these type of things that aren't, you know, blasted in your face on game day are having impacts on game day.
Fair enough. No, I'm not going to dispute that. And there's going to be more. It is what it is. Yep. I mean, every day, as we say, you kind of flip open social media. All right, nothing today. All right, let's just move to tomorrow. And then, of course, we get those days where there are things today. We deal with it. We move on. It is what it is. It's a pandemic year, and there's no way around it. Coming up next here. So the Packers, there's probably a lot more faith, a lot more conviction. I'm talking about outside of Packers land, that the Packers will recalibrate and get their act together. But what about inside of Brownsville? And I mean non-Browns believers. So just football fans, or, you know, I mean, Brown fans probably think of the worst. That's the nature of when you root for a team that historically scuffles. I get it. But what about us? We know what the Browns did the first 5 weeks, and we saw them yesterday, and that was not good. We'll get to the Browns coming up next. Where do they go? And more importantly, are the Steelers maybe the best team in the AFC? That conversation's up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. The professional parts people will even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. If your battery needs to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio, and our toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227. Number to get us here on Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. You know what else is scary? Baker Mayfield's performance, and you know, I might have to pluralize that on some level. I know that they've had some wins and that they came in on a roll, but you know, I don't want to say that they've won in spite of him this year, but they have not won because of him. That is for damn sure. And when you're the first overall pick, you can't be along for the ride in wins as often as he is, and you certainly can't be an eyesore as he was yesterday in losses, as he often is. So before we start cutting the nut, let's get the word from the coach, Coach Stefanski, on why'd you pull Baker?
I didn't want to see him get hit one more time, and that's I put that on myself. Went into this game knowing we had to keep him clean, and we didn't do a good enough job, so that starts with me, obviously. And he's a very, very tough player, and I know he wants to fight, but it's a long season. We got a game next week, and I didn't feel like it was the right thing to put him back out there.
No, listen, he's tough. I mean, he's a grinder, and he's earned everything he's gotten so far. He was not handed the full toolbox from the football gods on the conveyor belt. Got a lot of respect for Baker, but, I mean, listen, Baker Mayfield has been playing football in the NFL now for a couple of years with a lot of talent, and he's not where he should be.
No.
Period.
Well, let's also not forget he was playing another team, just like Aaron Rodgers, who we just talked about, that has one of the top defenses in the National Football League. The Pittsburgh Steelers are becoming vicious in how they play defense. It almost reminds you, you know, of those early 2000s years when they were just dominant on that side of the ball with my buddy James Ferry, my teammate from UVA, and James Harrison, and all those. I mean, Troy Polamalu, who we had on a couple of weeks ago or last week. I mean, those guys get after the football. They turn you over and they punish you, man. I mean, TJ Watt is one of the best pass rushers in football, as is Bud Dupree and Stephen Tuitt on the inside. I mean, these dudes get after you, and Baker Mayfield didn't know what to do with it. Now, on a healthy day, and let's not discount the fact that he is beat up. We saw him get hit that one time. I think it was right before ultimately he got taken out. And you could tell his ribs were in excruciating pain. Like, he couldn't get off the ground after he got slammed down. And that's what Coach Stefanski was alluding to. The job was keep your quarterback clean. Don't let him get hit, right? Don't let him take extra shots. Don't let him get driven into the ground, because the pain that you deal with a rib injury, and you got to throw the ball, I mean, forget it. So that's why they ultimately pulled him. But the credit really belongs to the Steelers defense, because they knew it. It's not like, hey, Baker Mayfield's not hurt. Yeah, he is. Hit him. And it took his toll. He got frustrated, and then Odell Beckham got frustrated, and everybody got frustrated, and the Steelers just had their way with him.
Listen, I'm not really surprised by the Steelers, although now we have to see what they look like. They lost a little bit of team speed. Devin Bush, big injury.
Huge.
Big injury. Remember, they moved up to get it. What's that team?
Yeah, I don't know how they replace him.
Well, they don't. They moved up to get him, something the Steelers very rarely do on draft day. They moved up a few slots. That's how much they liked him coming out of Michigan. So you got another big one. It's funny because they're playing each other next week. Another big one was Taylor Lewan for the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Those are two big injuries. But you know, I say I'm not really surprised about the Steelers. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I picked them to win the AFC North, not the Ravens. I picked them on Sharp Tierney. You know, great week, by the way. 7-2 so far. I got Dallas tonight. I picked the Steelers to cover the 3.5 points against the Browns. So I'm not surprised that they're really good. But, Teak, the Broncos scored 20-plus points against them. The Texans scored 20-plus points against them. The Eagles scored 29 points against them. I mean, score some points.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to go for 30, but you score 7 points.
Yeah, here's the thing with the Browns. This is what I think. I think they're just emotionally fragile, and I don't mean that in like a
after four straight wins.
Well, yes, because
okay.
so it's hard to explain it, because after four wins, you're just like, these dudes are stout, man. They got it. They got what it takes right now. They're feeling themselves, but As soon as something goes wrong, you saw the wheels start to fall off, right? It's not like, all right, something's, you know, clunking in my engine. Let's pull over and fix this thing. It was like, all right, something's clunking in the engine. All right, there goes the tire. There goes the, you know, the bumper falls off. It just felt like, you know, once they couldn't be explosive like they had been in their previous four games. Things just started to melt down for them. Baker Mayfield making ill-advised throws that, I mean, Steelers defense are going to take advantage of it, and they did, you know? So it just felt like when things went bad, they went really bad. And good teams, so, you know, teams that can persevere through that, find a way to still play, you know, good football and not just get the floor wiped with them. The Browns got the floor wiped with them, and then I think it's disappointing because I thought they had turned the corner from that,
but maybe
they haven't. And again, look, they're still figuring it out. This is still Coach Stefanski's first season.
Yep.
The character has to still be built and developed. It never happens overnight. It's a big setback, but let's not forget the Steelers are a really good team.
They are really good, but if you can't deal with that first look at adversity in mid-October, you're not going to matter in January.
Mm.
I mean, unless something,
good point.
You know what I mean, T? Unless something radically changes, and I don't know how you change the leadership DNA within a franchise within a few months.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it can evolve. But, you know, and again, it's not really a huge story. I mean, just a mention here, but Odell taking his shoes off before the game's over. Odell yelling on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy not happy. It is what it is. The first sign of
he was taken out of the game, right? Like he was told. Like he was told he's not going back in.
I'm
asking the question.
I believe he was, but do you still take the shoes off?
No, I mean, maybe untie them. You don't take them off. But
yeah,
I was confused for a while because I was on the edge of just getting ready to go off on him. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
He took himself out of the game. Like, I'm done. Forget this. But I couldn't figure if he was pulled. And so if he pulled him out of the game, I understand. You're right. It's not a big story. But it could have been. Easily
could have been
a humongous story if the circumstances were different from what Coach Stefanski had told him.
Yeah. The good news for the Browns, they've got some nice winnable games coming up.
Yep.
You know, you got the Jaguars peppered in there. You're playing the Texans. I know Texans looked pretty good yesterday.
Texans in defeat.
They do. Yeah. They're fighting for Romeo. Good for them. That Titans game was wild.
Yeah, it was. Romeo made a bonehead mistake, though.
I know, the 2-point. Duh. So did Ron Rivera. I mean, I don't know if you interpret it that way. I know what he was doing, you know, going for the two, trying to beat the Giants by a point rather than kicking the extra point and going to overtime, taking your chances. What would you have done? If you're Ron, knowing where the Washington team is now,
so
what would you have done?
So here's the thing. Kyle Allen played pretty good. I mean, he made that one fumble. They're never going to be explosive. They just don't have the talent offensively to do that other than Terry McLaurin. But the reason it was wrong, BT, was because the Giants hadn't done much of anything other than the one big play for Daniel Jones, which was a beautiful throw to Darius Slayton.
Great throw.
His touchdown. He made a bad mistake, but, I mean, I blame the play call more than Daniel Jones, even though you just throw it out of bounds, right? I think he was trying to. He just didn't get anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had another turnover, and so that kills you. But my point with Ron Rivera is the Giants aren't doing anything, right? So go to overtime and win it in overtime, because if you go for two and you miss it, you lose the game. And in the NFC East, if you are, you ultimately give yourself a chance to win. So if you're 2-3, you're in it, man. You're sitting at the top of the division.
Correct.
And so by going for two and not making it, he leaves himself a tick behind, but I mean, it doesn't ultimately matter, but he could have been tied for the division lead, depending on what happens with the Cowboys, obviously. And I just thought it was a short-sighted decision to believe in his team. You know, I believe in you guys. We're going to go get this. And I don't know, it might cost them in the long run, but you know, probably not, because who knows, they're not going anywhere in the when it comes to Super Bowl aspirations or whatever it may
be. So then that's why you can make the case, plant the seeds of belief and competitive culture. It's almost, I don't want to say it's supersedes to win.
I think winning means so much for a team that's trying to figure it out.
That's true too.
And Washington is still trying to figure it out.
That's true too. I mean, you can't, there's no replacement for Dub, that's for sure.
Yep.
You know that. All right. So, disappointing performance by the Packers. Very disappointing performance by the Browns. And here we are. I wanted to get you set up some of the key action to start Week 6. And obviously, tonight we got the doubleheader. We'll see how the Bills respond to a sloppy performance last time out. They're a little bit banged up. You know, you got to worry about that Buffalo secondary. That linebacker is a little thin. Chiefs probably a little ticked off as well. They've had a little extra time to prepare, so you've got that. Cardinals, Cowboys, Andy Dalton, prime time. I know you like to fade them. I think Dallas plays well tonight. But we'll see. World Series is set. We're going to squeeze it all in. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour two. We'll get into college football, obviously, throughout. We'll do that at 4 Eastern, Bama with Georgia. But right now, we'll get the update. And that is Bob Huesler. We'll come back. We'll get a little five-star rewind. The best sounds from what we heard yesterday, week 6. Here's Bobby's update. Okay, five-star rewind coming up in a moment. Top of the hour, Georgia-Bama. The rest of the happenings from a pretty interesting college football weekend. We'll get to it all. Tiki and Tierney here. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, here's the deal. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. And stick around, listen later on. Teek and I will take the best one. We'll answer it for you on the air, and we'll give you some props in the process. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So every Sunday, we sit there like bumps on the log on the couch, watching the games, plowing through the games, game after game after game. And we always come up with a script, the best sounds, the best moments. It is called a little five-star rewind, and it is about that time. Teek, you good to go?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's hit it.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
And as always, we start on the Sunday night stage. The surging Rams, the scuffling Niners. And what do you know? Jimmy G and the Niners flipping the script in a big way.
Fourth and two. Three receivers right. Kittle. Three receivers left and Kittle right. They throw over the middle. It is caught by George Kittle. He'll race for a touchdown. 10-5. Touchdown! San Francisco! Fourth and two. Kittle over the middle.
That's how it sounded. Greg Papa doing his thing on the Niners radio network. The Niners jumped on him early. Put up a couple of quick touchdowns. The Rams, who were rolling, Teak. They never got going, so maybe we need to tap the brakes at least for a week or two and stop prematurely burying the Niners' character win for the team that got to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. By the way, the Rams have only won games against the NFC East, which is one of the worst divisions in football. Wins over the Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and Washington football team. They lose to the Bills. That was a tight one. And now to the 49ers. But this story is the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo last week was, people were questioning whether or not he was the guy for the future of the team. And I'd be quiet with that nonsense. He was hurt coming back from an injury. 268 yards and three touchdowns. More importantly, BT, he was just steady. He looked in complete control. He had a good run game going for him. They ran for over 100 yards on the day. Ball time possession was heavily in their favor. This 49ers team, even though we counted them out because of a lot of their injuries, they still have some juice left in them. And you got to give a ton of credit to Kyle Shanahan, their head coach.
Very innovative game plan. They gashed him early, and he outthought McVay. It's a huge win. Coming up next, Niners will be at the Pats, who are licking their wounds a little bit today. Couldn't score, really. I mean, Pat's offense, we'll get into that. But New England's early 2.5-point favorites against the Niners, making the trip back. Remember, they played that team I don't mention. They played the Giants back-to-back weeks on the East Coast. They got to go play the Pats now. Pats are favored. The Rams at the Bears. This will be a good matchup. Monday Night Football, L.A., early 5.5-point favorites. Meanwhile, we move on. Back in the big seat, Romeo Crennel. Post-game on, shall we say, an interesting decision.
The thing is that sometimes if you go for it and you don't make it, then they begin to wonder why you went for it in the first place, you know? So that's the way, that's the nature of this game that we're in. You know, when you win, when you're successful, everybody feels good about it. When you lose and you're not successful on a play, then everybody feels usually bad about it.
All right, so you want to hear that first because we want to take you back to what happened after that, hence some of the questions, a back-and-forth battle, the Texans and the Titans, and let's face it, when it's winning time, Mike Vrabel says, get the rock to the big guy.
Tannehill is wide to the left. Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
It's the King Cat. Henry running to the left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! touchdown! Titans win 42-36 as Arthur Smith comes with the king cap for the final 5 yards and the victory. And the Texans stunned.
Pretty wild stuff. That's how it sounded on the Titans radio network. Mike Keith, Dave McGinnis there, 42-36, the final, the game winner from 5 yards out in overtime. And let's face it, you know, the Titans, Taylor Lewan got hurt, but, you know, Ryan Tannehill, he's kind of entered the backstage of the conversation for the MVP. He's not going to win it, but you got to throw him a modicum of respect. He's played very well. And Derrick Henry, that size and that speed should be illegal, T.
No, tell me about it. Let's not forget he also set up them in the red zone with a 53-yard basically dump off from Ryan Tannehill. He couldn't find anybody downfield, chunked it over to Derrick Henry. He raced 53 yards down to the 30-yard line, the 28-yard line or so. Derrick Henry did it all, 268 or so all-purpose yards on the day. But back to Romeo Crennel. By the way, I think Derrick Henry is more in the MVP conversation than Ryan Tannehill is. That's debatable, but we'll see how they steal votes from one another. But He's leading the league in rushing again after doing it last year as well. Romeo Crennel, you're up by 7, right? All you got to do is kick the extra point and put pressure on the Tennessee Titans. So they're up by a touchdown without kicking the extra point. Kick the extra point. Make them have to score a two-point conversion. Instead, you're trying to go up by 9 to make it 2 possessions? It didn't make any sense, man. Maybe he forgot his math. I don't know.
I'm serious. Keep that coordinator chair ready because that's where Romeo is going to be going back to. Although they have played hard and they played reasonably well for him for sure.
Yeah.
He's a great football man, but that's just a horrendous miscalculation on what to do with the one of the 2 points. I got you. Houston now, they will host Green Bay. Packers coming off a loss. Texans obviously dogs here, +3.5. In Tennessee, they will host Pittsburgh, 1 p.m. CBS. Going to be one of the marquee matchups. Tennessee, not getting a lot of respect. They're actually home dogs, +1.5. All right. In Carolina, a couple of hot teams hooking up. But in the end, the boys from Chicago, the ones riding the winning wave as the Bears D gets to Teddy B.
Teddy Bridgewater with 8 on the play clock in a minute. 32 to go in the game. Snap is back. Here comes pressure up the middle. He throws, and it is intercepted. DeAndre Houston Carson. Are you kidding me? 2 weeks in a row, he's come up with a big play, and he threw it right to DHC. Wow.
All right, that's how it sounded. Jeff Joniak doing his thing on the Bears Radio Network. Not a beautiful game in terms of artistry, but that's something that Nick Foles and everybody was, you know, kind of reinforcing postgame. Hey, we're not here to lose pretty. We're here to win, and if we win ugly, that's fine. And you know what? You stack them in your back pocket, you move on, the Bears get the dub.
Yeah, they do get the dub, and it was, again, with the defense, and they forced Teddy Bridgewater, who has been playing pretty good football, into a couple mistakes, one early and then that interception late that ultimately sealed the game for the Chicago Bears. And for them offensively, the Bears, they're never going to be pretty. Nick Foles is not going to ever throw for 350 yards and, you know, be the hero. All he's got to do is stay steady and not make too many mistakes. And he did just enough to get this Bears another win. 5-1 the Bears are. They still don't feel like a playoff team, but they're 5-1.
They're going to be.
I know, right? They're 5-1. How can they not be?
They're going to be. So eventually, they'll really be a playoff team if the offense ever decides to join the party. Matt Nagy touched on that postgame.
Got to just keep working. The good thing is that we're 5-1, and when we do get this thing clicking, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing enough right now to get the wins, and I refuse to take away the excitement that we have as a team right now in that locker room.
Nor should you, Coach. Stack them up. Move on. Chicago Bears fans should be pumped. Monday Night Football against the Rams, as I said. Carolina at the Saints, who had a bye. New Orleans laying an early 7.5. How about this? Bengals and Colts from Indy. Phillip Rivers turning back time, dropping dimes, and pulling out a come-from-behind dub.
Rivers back to throw on 1st and 10 in the end zone. A diving catch for Jack Doyle. Touchdown! Touchdown! Jack Doyle! And the Colts are tying the ball game right now. It's 27-27. A 14-yard beautiful throw from Phillip Rivers.
That's how it sounded. Matt Taylor on the Colts Radio Network. Big hole, but also his first true signature moment for a team with a different helmet. Phillip Rivers made some big throws late.
Yeah, he did make some big throws late. And when this team, when they were down 21-7, they felt lethargic, felt like they could not get anything going. But ultimately, we know why Phillip Rivers is viewed the way that he is. He's got a somewhat of a gunslinger mentality, but and if he doesn't make mistakes that we've been talking about all season long with the multiple interceptions in a game, he's actually really good. Threw for 370 yards, BT. He can get after it as long as he's clean, and that's how he was able to come back against the Bengals squad, who's just not ready to win yet. I like Joe Burrow. I like where he is in his game. He threw for over 300 yards as well, but he's got to realize that you got a tough old line in front of you. They're not going to protect you. You got to be smart, and sometimes he wasn't that, and then ultimately the Colts found a way to win it.
Yeah, we have seen that quite a bit. A young kid get a little more polish, he'll be fine. Yep. Since he hosts the Browns, that's Cleveland laying 3 early. Browns obviously want to get back and get that win after the rough performance against Pittsburgh. Indy gets to coast into their bye, 4 up and 2 down as they get a little respite. Finally, in Philly, Teague, while Lamar Jackson's arm has yet to fully hit stride this year, no such issues with the wheels. 37 yards later, peace. We'll see ya.
Eagles with a four-man front. Jackson will keep it on the read option. Big hole up the middle. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens. Lamar Jackson right up the middle.
I don't know. I'm not sure how many times I need to say that, but that's where the hole is. It is up the middle.
Well, that's how it sounded. That hole was very identifiable because it was there early and often. That's the Ravens radio network. Jerry Sandusky on the lead mic there. And listen, it is, you're making plays, you're scoring touchdowns. Baltimore's defense is good. I don't love what I see from Lamar throwing the football, but it didn't really matter yesterday as Baltimore cruises into their bye week with another win.
Yeah, no, that was his 8th. Double triple, where he's in 100 yards in two categories, 186 yards and a touchdown passing, 108 yards and a touchdown rushing. Not very many people have done that in the National Football League as many times as Lamar Jackson. Maybe Michael Vick did a few times. But when this game was 24-6, BT, I thought, I mean, this is over. The Ravens are going to run away with this game. But I got to give Philly credit. I know they're sitting at 1-4-1. You know, maybe they can win the division. Maybe they get into the postseason. Who knows? But they don't lay down, right? We saw this against Pittsburgh last week. We saw it again this week. Regardless of what happened in this game, they play to the final whistle, and that's a testament to the leaders on the team. It's a testament to the head coach. They're not good yet, right? They're not good right now because their offensive line is so beat up and in other places, and they're deficient. But they play hard, and they're never going to quit. They're never going to be out of a game, which is encouraging despite their 1-4-1 record.
Yeah, it's a winning culture. And you mentioned the head coach. That's Doug Peterson. He touched on Jalen Hurts getting some reps post-game.
Just felt it was the right time to get him in the game. You know, at the time we had been struggling a little bit offensively, especially running the football, and, you know, gave us a opportunity to do that with him. And it just kind of calmed the defense down a little bit too. You know, there wasn't as much pressure when he was in the game at quarterback. Just had to find a spark and got him in the football game.
All right, so the Ravens pick up win number 5 on the season. They'll have a bye and then tough sled. And if you're not fully believing in the Ravens now, you might get more of an answer in about a month or so. Pittsburgh, the Colts at New England, the Titans, and Pittsburgh again. That's the next 5 games for the Ravens. Philly, Thursday Night Football against Tiki's Giants. The Birds laying 3.5. And there it is, our Week 6 5-star rewind here on Tiki and Tierney. Good stuff. Some good moments yesterday, right, Tiki?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of good football on. Lots of up and down. My Giants finally got a win.
Yep, told you they were going to get it.
Yeah, they just didn't cover for you.
And the line went down.
I know.
It actually got off at 1 point. I really would have push that. Whatever. I'm happy for Joe Judge. Reinforced the message. They needed the win. Giants do get it. Coming up next, though, hey, it wasn't just NFL that was popping. I thought Georgia was going to maybe do something special. And Babble punched back hard. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.